Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is a Wednesday and we're now 9 days into July. Askwaelga, of course, the month is Yule, which sounds a bit Christmas adjacent for the weather that's in it, doesn't it? How are tricks with you? Email the show, oliver@rte.ie, or you can tickle your fingers on the phone with the WhatsApp. That is 087-032-3232. I'll hit the button here and away we go. Now, have you ever heard of an it boy or an it girl in pop culture? Someone, usually a young, stylish, charismatic, widely admired figure who captures public attention in a zeitgeisty moment. And these trendsetters and icons of coolness who were put up on a pedestal during the Celtic Tiger era. In that particular period, it was either in the Sunday Independent Life magazine or TV3's Exposé or some of the reality telly shows. Well, one of them is back from the boom. Or from the gloom of the boom, Gavin Lamb-Murphy. Remember him? He is on a new venture these days, far from his days in front of the paparazzi. So doing what he says, by the way, in his own words, is his first real job. So an interesting man. We'll chat later on to him. 51551 is the text. What else is happening? Well, Trump's tariffs have been back in the news this week. Why? Well, you'll remember all the market chaos a couple of months ago when he said he was going to do this and that and the other, and then he panicked and grandly announced a pause with a promise that he'd deliver 90 deals in 90 days. Well, the 90 days are up, and in reality there weren't even 9 deals done by the deadline, which is today, the 9th of July. I see the BBC's economics reporter saying the most revealing thing about what he's decided to do now, which is extend the deadline until the 1st of August with the possibility of further extensions down the road. It's basically old threats, repeating the White House Liberation Day blue board that Trump waved and he's kept in his office ever since. How have the financial markets been reacting to all of this? Trump continues to talk tough and sent out some letters. But the markets are kind of laughing behind their hands because the investors believe these rolling delays will just go on forever now. And of course, the idea of TACO, which we discussed here before, T-A-C-O, Trump always chickens out. And the BBC reporter concludes, the real takeaway here is the Trump administration's inability to strike deals since April, and the new delays are an admission of failure. Well, there's no admission, but the failure is there. And the White House says it's playing hardball, but so are all the other countries. And Trump always chickens out. TACO, that's the story that's going on there. The sunny weather is underway and the news sites are full of kind of holiday, sunny, heatwave adjacent stories. The National Poisons Information Centre of Ireland, didn't know it existed until now, have sent out a warning. This is Donegal Daily, of reports of sightings, reports of stings from tiny fish. These are the stinging weaver fish that live in our coastal waters, and the weather expecting to get better. People will go to the coastline. And they're sending a warning that the stinging weaver fish are out and about. They're found in every part of the Irish coast, but only the very sandy beaches and usually in the warm, shallow waters in the hour before and after low tide. They've no swim bladder, meaning they sink to the bottom as soon as they stop swimming. And they're difficult to see because they hide buried in the sand. And why do you have to watch out for them? They've got sharp spines on their back. And that contains venom, which is very painful. It's not lethal, in the dorsal fin. If you stand on a weaver fish, you'll get this immediate, intense, burning pain, which will happen for 2 hours. Your foot will swell up and turn red. It'll be numb and it's not very good. So the National Poisons Information Centre says that if you do get stung, get assistance from a lifeguard, if you can find one. Or submerge the affected limb or wound in hot water, as hot as you can tolerate, for up to 90 minutes until the pain eases. Sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? Cold applications will make everything worse. Don't do that. Hot water. And consider paracetamol, but only after you've done the hot water thing, because if you take paracetamol and you're not feeling the pain from the burning, you could be in trouble, you see, with that sort of thing. So the NPIC, National Poisons crowd, are available online. You can get online as well. If you stand on a weaver fish, don't panic too much. But there's lots of them around. People will be going into the water. And be safe in the water. And be safe under the sun as well. There's coverage in the Irish Sun of TikTok trends. There's never a good TikTok trend, is there? There's never a TikTok trend that's useful to the planet. These ones are dragging us backwards in terms of sun safety. The latest trend is all about tan lines and having an intentional sunburn tan line. Sunburnt lines is the hashtag. It has 200 million views around the world. And it's been showing up the platform, showing people are purposely creating halter neck bikini lines. Women, not even just the halter neck bikini. There are videos of people using sunblock and stickers to leave white mark lines after a day of tanning and being unsafe in the sun. They're calling them, in inverted commas, tattoos. So you get that kind of sun line. And while we've been kind of making leaps around sun safety for a couple of years, but trends like this show up on TikTok all the time. This time last year, Forbes were covering another trend where users were spreading misinformation about sunscreen, saying sunscreen's unnecessary, saying that it's actually bad for your skin. And a survey conducted in America found that 1 in 7 adults under the age of 35, these are the most avid TikTok users, 1 in 7 thought a daily sunscreen use is more harmful to your skin than direct sun exposure. It's just the stupidity of it. A quarter believed drinking water and staying hydrated would prevent sunburn without you having to use any sunscreen. And a third felt a tan makes you look better and healthier. There's no accounting for ignorance at all. Because as we know, sun exposure makes you wrinkled, damages your skin, all the things that you think they would care about. But unfortunately, they don't. And it's basically, there are 11,000 new cases of skin cancer diagnosed every year just in Ireland. Our use of sunbeds in Ireland are back on the rise, which is completely bad because of all the information campaigns were really successful in dampening down their use. And you'd laugh at anyone using a sunbed. And anyone using sunbeds before the age of 35 increases their risk of melanoma later in life by 75%. So it's extraordinary. Social media has upended our sort of understanding of objective reality, and science has been accepted for decades, and it's all in the name of profits, essentially, isn't it? But unfortunately, we're one of the chief enablers in Ireland. We welcome in the big tech and we don't criticise anything they do. Sadness goes on. Do you have a secret urge to throw a good portion of your young children's art in the bin? Well, Niamh O'Reilly's writing this morning as well that she does, like many parents, inundated with the children's artwork once the school year ended for the summer. Projects and crafts came into the house, and as much as she adores her small children's art, she has the secret urge to throw a good portion of it into the bin because there's a fine line between heartfelt drawings and every single messy line scrawled on paper that's sent home in the cause of art. And leaves parents wondering, are teachers just cleaning out the workspace and dumping all this stuff with them? But there's guilt in binning. And also it can happen that you can get caught. Niamh says, worse is when they find the children, find the artwork in the bin. It's a sort of Michael Corleone, Fredo level of betrayal that runs deep. I can remember my own father unknowingly hurling a beloved framed painting of mine in a skip as a young child. Let's just say it still gets brought up from time to time. And it's now she's a parent herself. She understands it. You can't take over every surface of the home. She is storing stuff in the attic, but she's trying to put stuff in the bin and trying to find other creative ways. Put the children's paintings and drawings, turning them into birthday cards or Christmas cards or even wrapping paper. That'll be a stretch, even mid here. And trying to rotate the gallery so you're not looking at the same stuff all the time. But the guilt is there, and you can also photograph them. But then you end up with a messy cloud and endless photographs we don't know what to do with. And that's why we have data centres and so on. No end to the guilt for the children's art issue. Now, if you've been on the irishtimes.com lately, you'll see this striking image of a historic replica ship anchored off the coast of South County Dublin in the glittering seas there. Now, it's 5 miles off the coast. It's called the Standhart, OK, and it was originally registered in Russia. So due to sanctions on that country in the European Union because of the invasion of Ukraine, basically the vessel is not permitted to dock in Dublin, even though it is no longer Russian registered. A bit complicated, we'll come to it in a second. But it's a sailing ship and it's used for training, and there's crew from all over the world. It's essentially trying to recreate life, what it was like for sailors and its young crew back in those times in the 18th century, but with safety features from this century. It's been 5 miles off the coast in Killiney Bay at anchor for the last 2 days. But where is this ship now? Is it on the move? We believe the ship is on the move. Let's find out if we can make contact with the Standhart and its captain. We have the line. We have the line. Yes, we do. OK, the captain's name is Vladimir Martis. Good morning to you, Vladimir.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Where exactly are you, sir?
Well, we are just crossing the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, heading for Scotland, and we are going around north of Scotland. And our destination so far is Aberdeen, where the tall ship race of the several large, beautiful sailing ships will start on 22nd of July.
Ah, there's a tall ships event in Aberdeen. So you're leaving Irish waters. You were in Dublin on Killiney Bay, as we call it, in Dublin's Bay for 2 days. What was that like, Vladimir?
Well, it was a stormy warning and we had to drop an anchor to wait for favorable winds. So we stayed for 2 days and that was a lovely stay. Good time for the crew to relax after a bit bumpy passage from La Rochelle and St. Malo. So it was a very nice stay and a very beautiful surrounding there. We were enjoying the view and nice stay. And now time to set sails and go forward again.
So you've no engine on board, it's sailing only?
Well, we do have engines, we are a non-profit organization, so fuel is so expensive. I'm using sails every second as soon as I could do that. So we don't run engines at the moment. We have all sails up, and that is three-masted frigate with 33 meters tall mainmast and 620 square meters of sails.
Wow.
And right now we are making almost 7 knots.
Who's on board? It's a training ship, isn't it? So tell us who's on board.
Yeah, that's a sail training ship by our mission. We have 22 crew on board, and that's 12 different nationalities out of 22 persons. Imagine how multinational is the crew. And the age of the crew, anything from 18 to 75.
Wow.
So this is a good mixture of all sorts of people. And the atmosphere is very good, very friendly. We all enjoy our intercultural experience and understanding. And that's actually the mission, what we are doing last 25 years. Mm-hmm. We are trying to make people understand that we are all humans, we are all equal. We should not make wars. We should be friends. And that's what we are doing.
It sounds like a lovely idea. Now, we know the ship is the subject of a dispute, a kind of a row, an argument with the European Union. Where exactly is your vessel registered today?
Well, we have a flag of Cook Island.
Cook Islands.
And when I refused the flag of Russian Federation by obvious reason, I was choosing which flag I like. And if you Google Cook Island flag, that says European stars and Union Jack together. So from my point of view, it's a kind of anti-Brexit flag, and I like it. Okay. I like people be together more than separate.
And you support Ukraine?
Definitely, yeah. My father is Ukrainian. I have a family who's really suffering there. And we would like to support it in all possible way, but it's really challenging time for everyone.
And so the reason for the dispute is because you were registered as a Russian vessel at the time of the war when it began in 2022. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's not very perfectly done, the European regulations for sanctions. If the ship was under Russian registration on the first day of the war, it's a kind of cursed forever. There is no way around. Mm-hmm. In standard story, that's a bit different. We are exempt from sanctions because this is a wooden ship, a wooden vessel. We are not falling in definition of the ship. And when we were exempt from the sanctions, we legally changed the ownership. And so we are now have nothing to do with Russia or its government. And so it's a disputable question if we are liable for sanctions or not. And some authorities or politicians want to be safe and they do not take our side. They say, okay, any Russian link is
bad,
sort of toxic. Yeah. So we are looking for the brave politicians who could look really deep into what we are doing and hope for support.
Okay, so you were told you couldn't, you didn't try to dock in Dublin, did you?
No, we probably would not be able because there is a kind of campaign against Standard, and we knew that it was a lot of mails sent everywhere.
When you go to...
But Anchorage was necessary because of the weather, and it was a nice stopover.
What will happen in Scotland when you get to Aberdeen?
Well, I do afraid that we'll have the similar situation.
Yeah.
And that's reality. But I'm optimist by nature, and I hope for better. Mm-hmm. I do hope that with the help of media, we could reach politicians who is making decisions about that, and that we will be allowed to join the fleet of tall ships. Standard was racing together with the tall ships since 2001. So we are really a member of the family of the sail training ships in Europe. Mm-hmm. So we hope that will be a solution.
So if the ship can't dock in these countries, can the crew come ashore? Can they come on to land?
Yeah, well, if the crew is a British citizen or European citizen, nobody could stop them to come back home. So we have to use our dinghy to deliver the crew on land. We also have to deliver food to the ship by dinghy. Yeah, that is possible. But imagine, for almost 12 months now, we cannot go to the dock. The crew cannot go to the shower, to the bar, to, I don't know, laundry. So that's all make our life pretty challenging. And sometimes I'm saying we are like in the Pirates of the Caribbean, 10 years at sea, one day on land.
Okay. It's like a pirate ship at the moment, isn't it? But some of your crew, I think, did make land at Dublin, didn't they, to get a shower and clean their clothes?
Yeah, well, definitely we managed. We even went to sauna, and that was highly appreciated by everyone, because for 7 days, that was no shower. We are very limited on fresh water on board. And when we are sailing from port to port, we have to save water. Every drop of water is valuable.
You have some rubbish as well on board, I think. Did you get rid of that?
Yeah, that's the kind of problem. We still have a full bucket of rubbish. We wasn't allowed to deliver it on land the normal way. And of course, we are not going to throw it overboard. That we value our cleanness of our oceans. So we are looking for the solution, but not yet found.
Okay. Well, listen, safe sailing in the meantime. Vladimir Martis, thank you so much for chatting to us, and enjoy the other tall ships as you head towards Scotland there.
Thank you. And what I would like to say, if your audience could see Standard anywhere in the port, they should know that they are welcome to visit the ship. We always open the ship as a museum vessel, and we are very happy to see visitors and share this part of maritime culture.
Okay, other sailors.
Standard
if
is
a dinghy.
Copy of the Royal Yacht. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Safe sailing. It's a beautiful day, I'd say, on the Irish coastal waters as he heads towards Scotland there. And that he cleared up the confusion, I suppose. He's not allowed to dock because of that EU sanction rule. It was registered as a Russian vessel on the first day of the war, and that is the law that he will have to abide by. There's a text from Margaret Faye, says, we were in St Malo when the ship was there. Photos attached, beautiful vessel. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see it under sail. And I'm looking at them. Oh, yeah, look at that. A gorgeous photograph you got there. Wow, it is some vessel, a frigate, as he described it there, 18th century, a replica of a Peter the Great vessel in Russia. And so on. Okay, it's 22 minutes past nine. Actually, there's a couple of texts in here on the poison fish. I got a weaver fish sting yesterday. Thought I'd stubbed my toe after a swim, but the pain came more and more intense. Extremely sore for an hour. I did the hot water things. Very important to steep both feet. Because the affected one can become numb. Oh, I see. And you can scald yourself. So you have to use the good foot to measure the temperature. The foot did not swell. It was all fine after an hour. Not really a big deal, but painful for a child. One tip is to shuffle your feet as you walk in the shore. The weaver will scoot off. Oh, okay. That's a hot tip. There's no end to it. Like between the jellyfish and the weaver now, it's ruining the day at the beach, isn't it? I stepped on a sea urchin once when on holiday in the Greek Isle. My foot swelled up as big as a watermelon for a week. We'll never forget it. So folks, be careful. Watch out for the dangerous fish if you're out for a paddle. And that's from Tom in Rathfarnham. He's one of our regular texters. Morning, Tom. But that was in Greece. And in terms of sunburn, there's lots of fake tanning going on this morning. Jane is a Monaghan Mallon. Give them a shout out, Leather Hull. says P, who's texted in. I will indeed. Fake tanning is grand, you see. You won't, you'll get your lovely tan and you won't grow ancient looking in the sun. Thank you, well done, for speaking about the dangers of sun exposure and skin cancer. That's from Jen. And I see Di O'Shea is talking about that very subject as well in a lot of papers today, on a campaign as well, just to get the sunscreen up. And I said it a few days ago, but I don't understand why there is still VAT on sun creams and lotions, which have got really, really good over the last couple of years. What are you going to do? I think we'll take a little gentle tune. 25 past 9. 51551 is the text. Now, Niamh O'Reilly's article about children's art, someone says, I use their drawings for wrapping paper for those many kids' birthday parties, passing on the dilemma to the other house, says Una. Well, it's a good idea, you know. He said multiple use of it, and then you can guilt-free put it into the composting or recycling bin. You definitely can't recycle painted paper. No, that would be composting, I'd say, only. Claude in Mayo says, I used to put all the art on the floor and the child in the middle of the art carpet and video and photograph it so as to have no guilt. That's a really good idea. That's a nice image, isn't it, of the child? But as long as the child doesn't know that you're dumping their future Rembrandts. Good morning. Could you say please hi to, this is like a desperate appeal, say hi to Ronan, who's 6, and Barra, who's 8. Lovely names. I've just heard them singing the theme tune of this show, really, while doing their Lego. It's a long summer. Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Oh, we hear you. We hear you, mammy, out there listening. And someone says, it takes a foreigner to call the two jurisdictions on this island by their proper names, Ireland and Northern Ireland. Down here, we usually refer to Northern Ireland and the South, or the Republic, says Michael in Dublin 12, who's in that mood this morning. Interesting. Back to the Weaverfish. This person says they were bitten by something a lot bigger, a crocodile in Jamaica. Swimming in the sea in the town of Black River, there are two rivers flowing into the sea, which the crocs migrate between them, briefly entering the sea to reach either one. A small croc. Oh, it's only a small crocodile. Give me a nasty bite. I've a scar to prove it. I've always ask a local before swimming anywhere. Very good advice from Simon. And someone's reminding us that Motherland is a show written by Sharon Horgan. Oh, I'll have to look that one up. Indeed, so it has Irish influence.